All my hope is in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Everybody was having such a good time last Sunday, Easter Sunday, that as I was going through the foyer there shaking hands with folks, I said to somebody, I said, you know, everybody acts like they just got out of jail. The one I was talking to, I said, you ever been in jail? He said, oh, yeah, many times. I'm not going to tell you who that was. I want to read a passage to you this morning. It's probably a familiar one from Matthew chapter 17 and verse 1 through verse 9. Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. That's speaking of Elijah. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright light, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. How would you like to go mountain climbing with Jesus? You know, the greatest in this life and in the life to come have always been mountain climbers. Micah Knight and I were in my office last week one day, and we were doing some research, and we were looking at some information on the internet about the tallest mountain and the most famous mountain on earth. And we discovered that that mountain is 29,028 feet tall. It is such a difficult and treacherous mountain that mountain climbers tried to conquer this mountain for years and years, something like 30 or 40 years before anyone ever climbed it. And finally, two men, one of them named Edward Holliday, or Hillary rather, Edward Hillary, and Tenzing Norgay, climbed this mountain in 1953. They were the first to do so. And something I did not know about this mountain is that I've always mispronounced it. I've always pronounced it Mount Everest. But the actual true pronunciation of it is Everest. It was named after Sir George Everest in 1865. He was a surveyor and a geographer, and had surveyed that part of the world over in around Tibet and China. And so this mountain was named after him. Since 1953, several mountain climbers have conquered Mount Everest, but over 300 people have died trying to climb this mountain. Most of their bodies are still on Mount Everest. It's so difficult to climb, to ascend and descend this mountain, that most of their bodies have just been left there. And if you were to climb Mount Everest, you would see their bodies frozen in ice as you passed by. So 300 people have lost their lives climbing this mountain. But one of the most probably little known facts about Mount Everest is this, or about mountain climbing in general, is this: that there are more people who lose their lives coming down than going up. More people fall to their death or are seriously injured descending than ascending the mountain. And that got me to thinking about this life that we're called to live in serving the Lord. You know, the view from the mountain, the view from a high mountain is exhilarating. And you know that if you've ever been on a high mountain. It can be far more, we can experience far more than we ever expected on the top of a very high mountain. The disciples in this passage were with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and they ascended Mount Hebron, a mountain that was 9,400 feet tall. It's the tallest mountain in that region. It's so tall that it can be seen 100 miles away, all the way down to where the Dead Sea lies. It could be said of Mount Hermon in the Holy Land, it gives new meaning to the saying that you probably have heard before, as people describe mountain views, that on a clear day you could see forever. And on this mountain, Elijah and Moses appeared, the Bible says, and Jesus' clothing was transfigured. His clothing began to shine brightly. Theologians believe that the reason Moses and Elijah appeared there is because Moses represented the law and Elijah represented the prophets. And that's probably true. But it also means that the entire Old Testament, as well as the rest of the Bible, but the entire Old Testament was pointing to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. The Bible tells us that they held a conversation there on the mountain. And that Jesus, his clothing was transfigured, where it was became as white as light, the Scripture says. The New Testament writers say that he was transfigured. That word transfigured comes from a Greek word metamorpho, and it's we get our word metamorphosis from that Greek word. And it's the word that describes what takes place when a caterpillar is turned into a beautiful butterfly. And so Jesus was transfigured before them, and he stood before them with Moses and Elijah, and the disciples were absolutely awestruck at what they saw, because they saw Jesus dazzling in eternal glory on that mountaintop. And this view from the mountain with Jesus is one that drastically and dramatically changed their lives. And when we have that kind of a view of him, it will drastically and dramatically change our lives as well. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, you got it up there? 2 Corinthians, rather. I'm sorry. The Bible says, Paul says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. Mark, one of the other gospel writers, had this to say about Peter's response when he saw what took place there in the transfiguration. Mark chapter 9 and verse 6. Mark said, because Peter wist not what to say. In other words, when he saw the transfiguration of Jesus, he didn't know what to say. The Bible says, Mark says, he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. Now, Peter wasn't one to be at a loss for words very often. But at this point, seeing Jesus transfigured dramatically affected him. And basically, here's what he said. He said, this is wonderful. This is a wonderful experience. Let's just stay here forever. That's what he was talking about when he said, let's build three tabernacles here. One for Moses, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And Luke adds something here to our understanding of what took place there. In Luke chapter 9, verse 31, the Bible says, he's talking about Jesus. He adds this, I think, this clarifies our understanding of what took place between Jesus and Moses and Elijah. He said, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. In other words, they were there with Jesus, and they were talking about his death on the cross that was going to take place in just a short while. So the view from a very high mountain can be exhilarating, as it was to the disciples, and as it can be for us in our walk with the Lord. But something that this story tells me is this, that it is not God's will that we remain on the mountain. It was not his will that they build three tabernacles and stay there. It's not just about us and our mountaintop experiences and what takes place in our life that blesses our heart. It's not just about us, because the hurting, it's not about us, but it's about the hurting and the helpless and the hopeless in the valley that lies beyond the mountain. And we're told that as Jesus and Peter and James and John went down the Mount of Transfiguration, they found there at the foot of the mountain a father and his son who was, the Bible says, was demon-possessed. And the father approached Jesus when they came down the mountain, and he said, your disciples, the ones who had stayed at the foot of the mountain, have tried to cast this demon out and could not. And he asked Jesus, he said, can you do it? Are you able to do it? And Jesus said, I can, if you will believe. And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And the Bible tells us that Jesus cast the demon out of that little boy. And so, folks, there are the mountaintop experience is a wonderful thing. And I thank God that he gives us experiences that cannot be humanly explained when we are born again. And when we look to God in faith for miracles in our life, and God grants us those miracles. But we're not meant to live there on that mountain just relishing in what God's done for us. There's hurting people and hopeless people and helpless people down in the valley below. The descent is part of the journey. It prepares us for the challenges at the foot of the mountain, and it prepares us for the next mountain that God wants us to climb. Notice here in verse 4 through verse 8, that Peter wanted to build a shrine, and he wanted to spend the rest of his life there savoring the moment of what had taken place there on the mountain and the transfiguration. Listen, folks, we serve no eternal purpose on our pedestals, looking down our nose at life. Let me say that again. We serve no eternal purpose on our pedestals, looking down our noses at the rest of the world as believers. We must be careful, though, to come down alive. If not, we've missed the whole point of the mountaintop experiences that God gives us. We must be careful to come down alive. I speak from 50 years of experience, folks. I have witnessed mountain climbers falling to their death on their way down in the life of the church for 50 years. I've seen Board of Trustees members lose their life on the way down from their pedestal. I've seen stewards lose out when they step off their pedestal and have to come down. I've seen Sunday school teachers. I've seen superintendents of Sunday school. I've seen all kinds of leaders plunged to their death spiritually when it was time to step down off the pedestal. We've got to be careful, folks, that we come down alive. That's the whole point of the mountaintop experience. God wants to enlarge your heart in that mountaintop experience. He wants to get you ready for bigger things and to stretch your faith. He wants to give you a broader vision of what he wants to do in your life and in the world around us. He wants to show you the next step. He wants to make you more like Jesus. He wants to get you to the finish line with joy. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to still keep on swinging at the devil. Keep on giving the enemy a hard time. He wants you to be victorious now and in the future. And he wants your future to be brighter than your past as a child of God. And so, it's not God's will for us to remain on the mountain. But we must be careful that we come down alive. Because there's always another mountain to climb with Jesus. There's always another mountain. Peter and James and John experienced those mountaintop experiences in their life. They walked through the valley of the cross after the transfiguration. They walked through that valley with Jesus. Then they climbed the mountain and witnessed the resurrection. Then they plunged into the valley again when they began experiencing the threats from the Pharisees and the scribes and the enemies of the cross. They climbed the mountain again when they experienced Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Peter preached to and 3,000 souls were brought to Christ. And then they went through valley after valley and mountain after mountain. They wrote many of the books of the Bible, these three men. But they had to come down the mountain to do it. They and some of them even died as martyrs. And so there's always another mountain to climb. One of my heroes in this congregation was Jerry Lee Ottinger. She climbed the mountain. She was still climbing the mountain when she checked out of this world. She was still making trips to Haiti, still concerned about those at the foot of the mountain. And so Jerry Lee was always one of my heroes. She kept climbing the mountain. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's another mountain, folks. Believer, there's another mountain for you. You're not meant to build a shrine where you are and hang out there the rest of your life. God didn't call you just to coast the rest of your life and just be concerned about your happiness and your welfare. But God calls you to do a work that will bring many to Christ. You have a purpose in this life. Mark Twain said, the two most important days in a person's life is the day that they were born and the day that they discover why they were born. The only way that you'll ever know why you were born is when you are born again, when you come to Christ. And I want to say to you this morning, God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished with me yet. Kathy, God's not finished with you yet. LaWanda, He's not finished with you yet. Brother Ken, He's not finished with you yet. God's not finished with you, teenager. He's not finished with you, college student. He's not finished with you, shut in or older person. He's not finished with you, even if you've been injured or maybe injured by the church. I want you to know he's not finished with you. He's not finished with you, disappointed person. He's not finished with you, betrayed person. He's not finished with you, hurting person or retired person or new Christian or old Christian or unsaved person. He's not finished with you yet. There are more mountains to climb for Jesus. And with Jesus, there are mountains that are much higher than any you've ever tried to ascend before. God has greater things for you in the future than there have been in the past. There are still mountains to climb. There are more mountains to climb with Jesus that are higher and more effective in your life. Oswald Chambers wrote a little devotional book, and it's over the years it's been one of my favorites. And the title of it is Still Higher for His Highest. Still Higher for His Highest. God has more challenges for you. God has more victories for you. God has more conquests for you. God has more ways that you can celebrate what God has done for you. God has more seed for you to sow. God has more harvest for you to reap. God has more souls for you to snatch from the burning. He's not finished with you yet. The Barna Group, I don't know, you may have heard about the Barna Group. They're a group that make a study of the life of the church, the life of Christians. The Barna Group did a study here recently, and they came up with these conclusions. They said that they were looking for what they called the resilient Christian. The one who hangs in there, the one keeps pressing on, the one who keeps climbing the next mountain. And they said that only one out of 10 people become a resilient disciple. Only one out of 10. And I call the other 9 half-Sabbath Christians. You think about that. It'll sink in. But here's how they defined a resolute Christian, or a resolute disciple. They said, a resolute disciple is one who attends church regularly and one who is engaged in their church more than just attending worship services. A resolute disciple is one who trusts firmly in the authority of the Word of God, the Bible. A resolute Christian is one who is committed to Jesus Christ personally and believes that Jesus died and rose again to conquer sin and death for us. The resolute Christian also expresses a desire to transform society as a result of their faith. Do you have a desire to transform society as a result of your faith in Jesus Christ? Lost sinner, religious person that's never been born again, backslider, relapser, discouraged, ungrateful, critical, negative, tired, complacent, entitled, offended, burned out. God's not finished with you either. There are higher heights ahead if you're willing. There's a song that Thomas and the worship team have been trying to teach us, and it's titled My Testimony. There's a line in that song that says, if I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. If I'm not dead, you're not done. So keep climbing the next mountain. Don't ever give up. Jesus didn't give up. You stop and think about it a minute. He could have stopped. He could have given up a long time ago. After the virgin birth, Jesus could have said, well, I don't need to go any further. Nobody's ever been born of a virgin. I can stop right here. When Jesus raised the dead, he could have said, I don't need to climb any more mountains. Nobody's ever raised the dead. I can stop right here. He could have said, when he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, this is the greatest miracle the world's ever seen. I can stop right here. Everybody knows who I am. I don't have to go any further. When he died on the cross, he could have said, that's enough. I'm finished. I don't need to go any further. But he went on to the resurrection. Thank God he did. And thank God for all of the mountaintop experiences that he has provided for us through his suffering and his death on the cross, because he wasn't finished yet. Listen, you and I must finish well, believer. We must finish well for Jesus' sake. We must do it for him. Getting old, I know this personally, getting old is not for sissies. So don't let yourself, if you're getting old, don't let yourself become grumpy or grouchy or negative or critical. If you do, when I die, I'll come back and haunt you. Every one of you. There's one more river to cross. One more mountain to climb. One more valley that I've got to go through, leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil. And I know he understands. I'm going through with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going through with Jesus. Hallelujah. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Will you stand with us?